Hey, welcome to the pod. I'm Jake, and today I've got Casey on. Hey, Casey.
Hey, Jake. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so I've restarted the podcast, rebranded it, and I'm calling it season two, even though it's under a different name. So this is episode two of season two. So far, I've only done one-on-ones, but at one point, I aim to do a multi-person podcast using Skype.
It'll change your life.
Oh yeah, I mean I've been on one, but I've never hosted one. You know,
Yes.
we just did Star Wars not that long ago. What was it, 2 3 weeks ago now?
And we'll do another one coming up.
So you know, we got past the intro, and let's just use the Star Wars straight as the transition into our amazing situation of COVID-19 right now. I think podcast and meeting over Skype is a great way to keep up with people and try to stay semi-sane during the situation. So how are
Yeah.
you doing with everything?
You know, you and I are in a group together in our political group. And it's nice because I'll be honestly, before all this happened, I was not a political person. Before 4 years ago, I was really kind of like, oh, that's a thing that happens and the president and I'll go vote and all that stuff. But once Trump came around, I got a lot more political and it's nice to have a group of like-minded individuals that even if we may have varying opinions, which we typically don't in that group, but you know, it's nice to like bounce ideas off of people. So that helps. Having a bunch of people who are informed talk to each other and vent, I think that's a really good thing for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, I think our opinions are the same most of the time. It very rarely that we veer off, though we did split off the conspiracy group from it, to not go too deep down a rabbit hole there.
Yeah, there's that too. But you know, on a personal front, I've got a newborn and she keeps me super busy. So to be honest with you, I'm mostly distracted and I'm not, you know, every once in a while I'll get into my own thoughts and kind of the realization of I'm not going to see my family for a while. I'm not going to see you and do game nights and you know what I mean, other friends and stuff like that. And that hits home every once in a while, quite honestly, and it sucks. But I also want everyone to be safe, and I know this is the right way to do it. So if it's got to be a Zoom meeting or a Skype meeting or whatever, or you have to have your groups, then that's it. You know, I have also found on the flip side of it is like I do a weekly meeting with my family. We never see each other altogether unless someone's gotten married. So weekly to seeing my whole family, like, hey, I'll take it. Like, that's crazy. We never do that.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've been dealing with anxiety for about a year now, and I was doing pretty good, but this upped the anxiety quite a bit. I got some of my OCD tendencies went through the roof, and I learned a lot about OCD in the past few months. I always thought it was, you know, like counting things and everything, and it's more than just that. But like, I got super silly into for a while, like tracking every time I left the house to know, like, if I got sick, when it could be. And then I'm like, okay, I got to stop doing this, but I still keep doing fever checks. My phone has an O2 meter on it, and I keep checking my O2. And I'm like, I know these aren't the best behaviors, but I have to stop. But this is the situation we've wound up in, is like, we have this weird disease that keeps mutating. Like, I know in our politics group, we were talking about, like, there seems like there's a random stroke for symptom now for people. And it's just like, all right, so we got to be scared a little bit. And I think these help not be so scary, you know, connecting with people.
Absolutely. This is, you know, I always tell my wife, I was like, this is my therapy session, is when I can do podcasts and stuff like that. And you know, we'll talk about some geeky stuff, I'm sure. We'll talk about some political stuff, right? So like, it helps. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as a species, humans need other humans. And as a person who's an introverted extrovert, I'm perfectly fine being at home all the time, to be quite honest with you, because I could read comics or I could play video games or do Legos, whatever. I'm okay with it. But I also do really love still connecting with people somehow. And, you know, when you invited me to be on the podcast today, I was like, okay, I'm excited for this, because even though we technically actually talk every day, Jake, in one of our groups. So
I think, what was it? It was Saturday or Sunday. I was like, geez, like, I don't think I've seen the Star Wars group, the politics group, or the geek group, anything happen on all three of those. Yeah, this is really weird.
Yeah, it was nice. It was actually nice out in Western New York for like a day. So I think that was the only reason why.
I went for a walk this afternoon after work, and Nessa ended up running for most of it. So most of it was me chasing her. My therapist is actually, I was telling him how much I'm getting out walking and running around, and me and Nessa play a game called Don't Catch Me, where I just chase her around the house a bunch and I can never catch her because I have to make all these turns and every turn slows me down while she just keeps speeding through it.
Yeah.
But he's like, you're like doing couch to 5K without realizing you're doing couch to 5K. And I was like, yeah, since we went into lockdown, I've hit my step goal almost every day. When I was going into the office, I was never hitting my step goal.
You know what I would do is like on lunches, I would take that route. So we used to work at a tech company downtown and in Rochester, and I would walk that bridge and then go all around under the bridge and then come back around, and I would be able to hit my lunch and do that, and then like that was usually like my lunch time.
Yeah, so I'd go over the bridge near the brew house. And yep. I've never taken it, but I've considered going all the way across the bridge, then
take a right,
taking the right, yep, and then coming back down through the inner loop.
That's what I would do almost every day.
I've never done that full loop. I usually would do the bridge and then turn back around and come back. So,
do you eat at your desk?
Yes.
Don't interact with people. You can do that walk.
Oh, yeah, I could totally. It's not a time constraint issue.
No, it's just like when you're in the office. And, you
know. And I mean, like, it's been snowy all winter, so, like, there was none of that, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, I've been walking the neighborhood. I did, so we're still, my mom's not working right now, so we've been using her for childcare 3 times a week. And one of the days we do a weekend day, and I did a mile and a half last Sunday when she was there. So
man, I will say I used to date runners. Almost every girlfriend was a runner until my wife. And my mom lived with us for about 6 months. She had back surgery, and the doctor's orders were that she had to stay active in order for her surgery to go well. And what we would do is we would drive her to the high school that was like down the street from our house that had a track. And then my mom would walk the track, and my wife and I both downloaded a couch to 5K, because I just, to do a mile in a row was like the most insane thing to me, you know. And I always dated like track stars. And so doing that, because it starts you off with like run, walk, and then the times change, you know, between walking and running. I will say now, I'm by no means an expert at all, but now I enjoy the act of running. It took a very long time to become this person. I was always like, if you've ever seen that movie, The Faculty, the character Elijah Wood plays, who's ironically named Casey, he was like, the only reason to run is if somebody's chasing you. And I always held that as a mantra, probably because his name was Casey in the movie and it's directed by Robert Rodriguez. But anyways, so I thought that was very truthful, but it's a very good app. And once you get into it, I find that most people do actually enjoy running.
Just take
to start it.
Yeah, I've never been a runner before now, but now I'm starting to.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll take us into what have you been doing?
Well, I got a jogging stroller for me and my daughter, so running.
Emmy told me to say that the jogging stroller looked very nice there.
Yeah, thank you. You can tell I said thanks. So we've been doing that. That's new. I bought a guitar 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And it was one of those things where I love music, but I have zero musical talents. And, you know, I've made music like on a keyboard and stuff like on my computer for a long time, but never actually like really played an instrument. So I've been learning how to do that. I've been playing it every single day in the last 2 weeks. And honestly, it's weird. Like, I haven't read as much as I usually do. I thought I'd be burning through comics and stuff during this lockdown, but I haven't actually read anything. And I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I've actually logged, my friend told me, I didn't even realize, 70 hours. I was like, oh, jeez. But that's it. Honestly, because like with the guitar, I've been so motivated by it that I've been spending more time doing that than the other things that I may have done, which is typically reading.
Yeah, for me, it's been a lot of balancing work and Nessa. And when I have downtime, FF7 remake, and I'm in a book club, so I have been reading. Right. We just recently read Chuck Wendig's Invasive, which we have, after meeting with book club this weekend, labeled it as if a B-movie was a book.
Okay.
It's pretty much what it was. So there's that. And then,
FF7 I have a recommendation remake. For you.
Ooh, what is it?
It's this book. It's called John Dies at the End.
I've heard of it.
Because you just said if the movie was a book. So David Wong, who wrote it, worked for Cracked.
Cracked, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he worked for Cracked. Very good writer. And he made... This is a book... Did we play that game?
Everyone is John?
Yes. Right?
Yes.
So kind of, I don't know if they took it from this idea or whatever, but like, so I'm not going to give you the whole plot of it, but it is a weird ass book. It like starts one way and then it goes completely off the rails. And they also did a movie out of it. The director of Phantasm, Don Coscarelli and Bubba Ho-Tep, he did the movie. The movie's good.
And isn't it like Paul Giamatti or something?
Paul Giamatti is in the movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, honestly, I mean, I don't know what your book club's like. I don't know what their like ideas of movies are, but even if it's not in the book club, I will tell you, and it's such an easy read, even though it's a pretty big book. I think it's like 400 pages or so. It's so crazy that you just kind of go, you get sucked in real easy.
So our next book is, Kurt Vonnegut's The Monkey House.
Okay.
And then we have the next four books lined up, I think. And then we're discussing about doing 1 month a book to movie comparison. So that might actually be a good one where we watch the movie and read the book and compare. But yeah, our first book was a book called Frankenstein.
Okay.
It's a kind of retelling of Frankenstein with AI and things in play. So it was interesting. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to is work, Nessa, FF7, and book club.
Hey, man, I don't know if you knew this. I have a Frankenstein tattoo.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I have a Frankenstein tattoo and... you know, we're recording this on the 27th. On the 30th, that production with Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller of Frankenstein, it was a stage production directed by Danny Boyle, is going to be on YouTube. And they both, I think they both play each part. They like switch off.
Ooh.
Like midway through. So I'm excited. I'm pretty big fan of all things Frankenstein. Well, not all things Frankenstein, but I'll watch all things Frankenstein or read things. So you'll have to, you know, we'll talk off camera about so that.
Before we move into the main topic, here's my confession. I was in Austin when book club started, and I read the email really, really fast. I was like, oh, we're reading Frankenstein. I've never read Frankenstein. I'll buy it. So I bought Frankenstein, started reading it, and one of Emmy's friends is in book club, and they were talking, and she goes, man, this book's really racy. And I'm like, I'm not that far into the book, but I don't think it's that racy. And that's when I realized I was reading the wrong book. So yeah. I still have to finish Frankenstein.
Please go back and read it at some point, because it is a very good book.
I didn't get very far into it. So for our main topic, I got comic books. Just a general discussion about comic books.
Okay.
I've been reading some comics. I was actually keeping up on them quite regularly through Amazon Prime. I was doing the Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
Which have been surprisingly very, very good. Like, I wasn't sure how they would fit in because they tried to squeeze them between, like, episode 4 and 5 and stuff like that. But they've been really good.
Yeah, So the Jason Aaron ones you started off with.
Yes.
Yes, I started them. And then I fell off. On that run, particularly. I need to go back at some point and binge it, but what I have read consistently is everything, all the Vader series, every single Vader series, and then all the offshoots. I've actually read everything except for the main Star Wars run after issue, like 25 or something, and then Dr. Aphra. Not that I'm opposed to her. I actually think she's an amazing character, but I just never have read her book yet. But for the most part, since Marvel took over and everything is canon and all that kind of stuff, they've done a really good job. They've assembled a good team. Yeah.
If you have Prime, Prime Reading has a lot of the Star Wars stuff on it for free.
Sweet.
I've read it on my phone, actually. And then actually, bringing up Jason Aaron, I think he may be one of my favorite comic book writers right now. Because when I think back on it, like, some of my favorite comic books recently have been the Star Wars stuff. Thor. His Thor run is absolutely amazing. And Conan, which he did.
Nice. I haven't read that.
I liked his Conan. I've only read, like, the first 8 issues of it. But I very much like his Conan. I'd be remiss to mention comic books and not say that hopefully still this year, Joe Hill and Neil Gaiman, Sandman meets Lock and Key. I think it's still happening. I don't know how COVID and everything is playing into that, but oh my God, that is just an amazing crossover at every level.
I don't know. So Sandman is supposed to get some sort of adaptation for Netflix.
Yes.
And Neil Gaiman did come out and say that it's paused now.
Yep.
Which makes sense. And then we did get our first season of Lock and Key this year, which was okay.
Okay. If you look at it as a adaptation of the story and not turning the comic book into the TV show, it's okay. But I think that's an issue with comic books too. They are hard to convert into TV shows unless you're building it off of something like the DC or Marvel universe, which has so many storylines you can pull from. Like, I don't see how Walking Dead fell off. I don't see how you could turn, what was his other comic book? The the one about the possessed guy. Did you read that one?
Outcast.
That was apparently going to be a TV show. I don't know if it ever happened, but I don't know.
It was two seasons.
Did you watch it?
Phenomenal.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't sure. So that I was like, why? Nobody watched it.
But I mean, Watchmen got that great HBO adaptation recently.
That was a continuation, though.
Yeah, it was a continuation. I never watched Preacher, but I know Preacher got a TV show.
Yep.
So
it depends on Walking Dead. I did fall off of it, and I will go back because I actually do want to see what happened. But when I got your synopsis, I was like writing down like some of the best comic books, and we've actually touched on some of them. Just mentioned, like Walking Dead, I binged it. Read 150 issues like when I was on vacation a few years ago, and it was awesome. And you know, the show takes liberties for sure, but at the same time they did do a pretty good job with it. So Preacher's in my top five greatest comics ever, and the show is not that. But at the same time, like, you know, it's with everything. You're in this book club, right? Like, typically the books are better than the movies or TV shows. And it's very rare that I always say Lord of the Rings is probably the exception for me, where I think the movies are superior to the books personally. Sorry, Tolkien, but those movies are flawless. And when you read these things, like, you always have to go into the movies with kind of like a, okay, this is their version, almost what is it, like Elseworlds in DC or the multiverse in Marvel or whatever, where you just go, this is a version, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the version.
Right. I think the other thing about comics, though, is on paper you can go so much more insane than you can probably pull off in the TV show. Like Lock and Key, for example, there's a couple things in the comic that I could never see them pulling off. Like the way they did the head key in the show, I enjoyed, but the way they did the head key in the book was like a crazier visual, I feel like. So
I think so. Not to say that you're wrong. I just think of things like, do you ever watch Legion?
I tried to. I got through season one. That show got real confusing.
So, but that's a perfect example, right? Where that comic can be messed up. That show is a complete mind F, where I was like, I stopped watching halfway through season two because I was just kind of like, what am I watching? And do I care?
I might have watched season two.
I started it, and then we were just, you know, my wife and I were just kind of like, do we care? Like, does this mean anything? So, like, you know, we're in a weird landscape now where, like, I mean, look at The Walking Dead. They push, you know, the limits of, like, what you can do gore-wise and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've heard that they can do it on some other shows, too. So I just think Lock and Key is kind of a bad example because of the fact that, like, they could have gone there. Like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that comic is messed up. That show is messed up. And it's still under TV 14 or whatever. It's not even TV MA.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I just think sometimes in comics you can go further than you can in TV. Especially when you're not on like an HBO.
This is true. Like they still have to temper some things. You know, it's just, I'm a huge Punisher fan, comic book wise.
That was a great Netflix show.
Yeah. And that show did some evil stuff.
I gotta say, I hope Disney will allow that type of show to return on Disney Plus, but I'm thinking all their content's going to be, you know, sanitized.
It's going to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we know it,
a continuation of that. I think that with them having that majority stakehold in Hulu, that they're, I think they will end up putting some stuff out over there, because you think of characters like that they've announced, Moon Knight, even Blade, where those characters, Punisher, I mean, they did it on Netflix, but like there's certain characters within their roster that really PG-13 is almost like Deadpool. You know what I mean? Like, we can't do it and give it to the fans the right way. So like if you release Deadpool still under the, whatever they're calling it, 20th Century Films branding, and they will do it rated R, then that's fine. And if you want to throw a Punisher in there and he shoots half heads in that movie, but when he goes into Captain America's movie, he just hits someone with the butt of a rifle, well, I guess that's it. But you don't lose the character's feelings. You know what I mean? Like their self.
So what do you think? Do you think we get Disney plus Marvel? And I know this is veering off comics a little bit.
It's still comics.
And then FX on Hulu Marvel.
Like, yes.
That we have the two different brands, and Disney plus Marvel is in-universe. FX on Hulu is universe adjacent, where Deadpool might make an appearance, but he's not the Deadpool from the FX on Hulu or whatever, you know?
I think that if they're going to stick with this all connected thing, just specifically talking about Marvel, that you could still do Deadpool. He can still make the jokes. You know what I mean? It's just that the swearing will be cleverly either beeped or covered up by like a noise, or, you know what I mean? Like a cutesy, funny way to cover it up. But I do think, at least I hope, that say something that happens in Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, they meet a character, or they go to a place, that place or character shows up in Deadpool, and they play within that sandbox. That would be the smart way to do it. It's like, okay, when you're on this show, you act this way. When you're on this Deadpool thing, you act this way. That's what I hope. And it's all one big, because the comics are like that, right? Everybody in Marvel are in New York City. Everyone, right?
Yeah.
But the Punisher New York City looks a lot different than Iron Man's and Spider-Man's.
So I think there's still a possibility. It's Feige, so it'll probably be one universe. But if they ever did want to split it up, I could almost see them doing what is current established Disney universe is 616, mm-hmm. and the more intense stuff is Ultimates. Like, they literally have two movie universes.
Yeah. But
they have to find a way to fit the X-Men in now, so there's going to have to be something that major that happens in the universe, because how have we not heard about the X-Men or the Fantastic Four in the Marvel universe before this?
Well, the major thing was what happened to go one, I think it's 1 year ago today, which is Endgame. You know what I mean? Like, with them creating the different timelines, who knows what Loki's doing right now? You know, he's in his own separate timeline. So if he's on a timeline where he just jumps in and all of a sudden he's in the Baxter building, you know, with the cube, well, that's where they were. They were in that particular timeline. And yeah. The same thing with, you know, the School of Gifted Mutants or whatever.
So while we're on the TV part and film part of movies and comics, with what happened with Ezra Miller, you think they replace him as Flash?
I think it would be the wise decision. Same thing with Amber Heard getting replaced or yes. just not added into Aquaman. I think they actually, the silver lining is that you can't really go forward right now with things. You know, like no production can happen. Yep. So they may, in like, Ezra Miller hasn't come out officially and said, like, I'm sorry for doing this, or this wasn't me, or something. And DC hasn't made any comment. And they have a little bit of a buffer now because of the coronavirus. So I think that they're probably trying to figure out the best PR way to either straight up fire him or spin it, because those are really the options.
I mean, they did kind of open a way to replace him in the TV universe, didn't they? I mean, he made a crossover onto the Flash show, so they could potentially use that as a way to, like, timelines got crossed, and now we've got, what is it, Grant?
Gustin
is the Flash in the movie universe.
Nobody would say no to that in the fan world who already watched the show. It's kind of funny. I was listening to something, some other podcast, and they were talking about how it's really easy for film actors to go to television. Like, it's other than the time, you know, that it takes to be on a set and do multiple episodes and whatever, like, that's obviously a big difference than, like, a 3-month movie shoot. But you very rarely see people from TV go into movies and have successful careers. It's, you know, I can't even think of so many people who actually have, like, you know, like, Leonardo DiCaprio was on Growing Pains. Okay, he wasn't, like, the main star from Growing Pains. You know what I mean? He was just, like, a little kid. Same thing with George Clooney. He was on Family Ties. But he wasn't, like, the main. Though he
wasn't
did...
Clooney on ER?
Well, he was on ER. That's what I was thinking. Yes. So he did do it. But it's just, it doesn't happen all that often that you see that.
I feel like more movie stars are crossing over to TV because TV's the place to be now. Especially now with the coronavirus, because movies are coming right to the TV now.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, it's a guaranteed paycheck. Like, there's most actors get paid off of, like, okay, we're going to give you $5 million to do this movie or whatever. And you will get that money, whether the movie does good or bad. But at least with a TV show, and it's popular and it goes into syndication, then you're getting money all the time. So I think it makes a lot more sense for some people to do that. And again, just to stretch your acting chops.
Yeah. I mean, especially now that we're getting more, I would say, British style TV shows where they're, you know, 6-episode seasons, right, only 4 seasons total, and it tells a whole arc. That makes it a lot easier than being on a Supernatural, which is on season 75 billion at this point.
Yeah, right.
And has to find a way to wrap up with production shut down, so.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, that's really weird with this whole thing is, my wife's like, oh, we should watch The Flash. And I was like, but I don't want to. I was like, because it's going to get a point where it ends and then they stop production. So we're not going to get the end of the season, like, of this season, probably until next year.
Yeah.
Literally.
Actually, I've gotten really into the late night at homes. Colbert, Last Week Tonight, and Seth are doing good at home shows.
Okay.
So...
I haven't watched any. I watched, like, some Fallon, you know? I watched some stuff because I like him anyway.
SNL at home was pretty good this weekend, too.
I did watch some of that, yeah.
So, yeah. And outside of that, we're actually catching up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Superstore, and I have to watch Clone Wars. I'm a bad Star Wars fan. I haven't watched the new Clone Wars season.
Please, by the time we have to shoot our episode, which is in 2 weeks. Please get through that.
I can power watch a 12-episode season. What
I mean,
it comes
really,
down
it's like
to,
4 hours of your time.
What it really comes down to is I promised myself I would finish Rebels before I started Clone Wars. And then the shit hit the fan. And I'm on season 4 of Rebels. Like,
okay.
Kanan just died in the episode I watched 2 weeks
spoiler alert
and I'm like, okay, if I finish Rebels I can watch Clone Wars, so I just really got to sit down and, like, watch these shows.
You're there's only 5 seasons of Rebels, right? Or is this the last? Four. No, there's only four. So you're done.
Last season. Yeah, I've like got like a couple episodes
three more
left.
Episodes. Yeah. Remember, Kanan dies at the end.
Yeah, like.
Can you just finish this, please? Because the ending of Rebels is so insane.
I gotta finish it.
Oh my god.
What conversation we had just went off the rails.
Oh man, the last episode we did Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, and that went so far off the rails.
Oh my god.
That's why I don't do a high depth outline. I can start as one thing and end with us talking about Rebels.
It's a fog cast. I know it's not the name, but it is a fog cast.
It still is. Now, it's a campfire chat. It really is. It's the campfire chats, and this would be the type of stuff that happened at a campfire that you start on one thing and you end up on, you know, a completely different topic. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So are you reading comics now?
Not really, just because book club's been taking up a lot of my time. Plus, on top of that, I bought way too many books when all this started. So I have like book club plus two books I'm shuffling. Plus, I'm on volume 6 of the Star Wars comic. So I do that every now and then. I probably got to start reading a new comic again, but I just haven't been.
You know what I do is, I don't know if you do the same thing, but like at night when I go to bed, I either read comics, which I have not done in a while, or watch a TV show or play a video game. And I usually rotate throughout the year, just like what am I doing to like settle my brain for the day. Right now I'm on television shows, but I always really enjoy like the comic book thing. I read through, I think it was last year, all of Ultimate Spider-Man, which is 160 issues, plus when Miles gets introduced. And then I started reading Miles comic up until Brian Michael Bendis leaving. So yeah, like that's how I do it, is I go through these binges.
Yep, same here. So I started out the lockdown by binging Stardew Valley on tablet. Then I went to books, and I'll probably be back on comics or television soon. But I have found that I sleep better when I don't play a game at night. So I'm going to try to reduce the game. And I mean, even I have my phone turned to black and white at 9:15. I have my Kindle app set to the black background with white text. Like I have it as like light sensitive as possible for nighttime. But yeah, I'll probably get back to comics because I do enjoy a good comic, and I want to figure out this whole Null storyline that has been happening in the Marvel universe. I think it's all set now, but how Gore and Venom and all this play into the original symbiote, like, I don't know, comics get confusing sometimes.
Yeah, I will try to do, so my favorite writer is Mark Millar. So Kick-Ass and Secret Service, aka Kingsman, that guy. And what I really love about him is that he'll do 6-issue runs for his comics. Either it's 6 issues and they're done, or it's like 6 issues is like part one or whatever. So like I can read a Mark Millar run and then I'm done. You know what I mean? So like I got the complete story. So like one of my favorite ever, I don't know, I didn't write it down, but I'm remembering it, Super Crooks, which is about a bunch of shitty, I won't even say superheroes, but like, you know, I guess they're crooks who use their powers for bad, and they try to steal from like this head villain who's like a mob boss, and you know, use all of their power. So like a Ocean's 11 is literally what it is. Ocean's 11, but with people with superpowers instead of like Bernie Mac. And it is, oh my gosh, it's just a brilliant idea. I hope to see it on Netflix, because Netflix and Mark Millar teamed up a few years ago to produce things, which they haven't done. And I just, you know, I love that kind of stuff though, where, you know, I don't recommend going through 160 issues of Walking Dead or Spider-Man. unless that's your thing, because I do that in Batman. I'm doing right now the Tom King Batman, but I like doing these little short bursts where, you know, maybe a night or two nights, and then I go, hey, I accomplished thing. I can, and I'll write those on my 2020 yep. list of things that I read, because I did. Like, that was a thing.
Yes. Yeah, so I am aiming for 20 books in 2020. And the big difference was I opened it up to comic books this year and audiobooks. So doing that alone, you know, all the Star Wars, each volume I read counts as yep. a book, because yep. that's 5 or 6 issues. So I think I'm rocking, you know, a good amount of books this year towards that 20 and 2020 goal.
You'll destroy it. Well, now with the virus, you definitely destroy it. Like, I do audiobooks. You know, I do love to read. Books are one of those things where I do like tangibility. Comic books, I actually read a lot more digital than I ever read before, and I don't care. People are like, I need to touch it. I'm like,
nope.
Do I? I'm okay. With books, I'll take it anyway. I'll take it a Kindle version. I will listen to the audiobook if it's a Star Wars book. From now on, I will never read a Star Wars book, because
audiobook only.
Oh, hear the sounds and the, you know, the soundtracks and everything. Like, it's far superior. And like, you know, another thing, I don't know if you and your wife do this, but like on a road trip, my wife and I, we'll get an audiobook, we'll pick it out, and like that's our road trip. Or, you know, if we have a long drive.
We lean towards downloading a couple TED Talks for a road trip.
Okay, that's good too. So,
on the comic book realm too, like, I think the last thing I really wanted to touch on was I read an actual book this year that was 100% inspired by comic books. It was Bob Prohl's The Nobody People. He's got a sequel coming out later this year, The Somebody People. And it is a X-Men homage. They're mutants. They're called Resonants.
Okay.
Resonants in the book. But it is very good.
Like, text me that when we're done with this.
I will. it's very good in the aspect of being a awesome superhero story. It's only his, I think, second full book, so it has some rough edges, but it kept me interested the entire time. And like, the events that happened, there were twists I didn't fully see, and I kept reading because I wanted to know who the big bad was at the end of it.
Yeah. Like,
we know that there's a big bad, and I was shocked when we found out who the big bad was. So it was really good. And I'm very interested to see where the sequel goes to.
I'm perfectly fine with not great writers, as long as I'm into the story. Like Dan Brown, you know, the Da Vinci Code guy. He's not.
Yes. No.
He writes like a 16-year-old, like, telling you a story. But you know what? The story's fucking cool. Sorry, am I allowed to swear? I don't know.
Yeah, you are. I'll mark it explicit. Well, I mean, that was what we came to with Book Club with Chuck Wendig and his book Invasive. Like, the writing wasn't great, but it was a pretty good story. And even Bob's book, I won't say that the writing wasn't great. I'll just say that it was at times rough around the edges, because it's only his second, like, fully produced book that he's put out, I think. And he's from Buffalo, now lives in Ithaca.
Okay.
So there's a lot
of... He's our neighbor.
Yes, there's a lot of references. I actually found out about him because his younger brother was in the fraternity with me. So,
oh, okay.
That's how I figured out about his stuff. So,
have you ever read the Aragon books?
No, but I have a quick story about those books. When the movie came out, they released a video game for it.
Yes.
And the video game, I want to say like the E was lowercase, but the R was uppercase or something. So I remember being at GameStop and looking at it and going, what is this E-Ragon game? And my coworker goes, what did you just call it? I said, E-Ragon. And he goes, it's Aragon. And I'm like, sure. Okay. That's what it is.
That's super funny. It's so it's a kid who wrote it. I think he was like
15 or something like that. And it is beat for beat the trilogy of them, though there is four books, but there's the original trilogy of them is Star Wars and with dragons. I'm okay with that. Personally, I'm okay if you give me Star Wars in a new package, especially because I love dragons and magic and all that shit. So it's worth checking out at some point. Like, some people are like, oh gosh, the writing. Blah, blah. And I was like, this is right up my alley.
I mean, a not amazingly written book that I can get through easily is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I love Stephen King. But sometimes his writing is just, like, too much to get through at times. Well,
it's just so, like, I've read Stephen King one time, one book.
Oh, you've only read one Stephen King book.
One Stephen King book, which was 11/22/63, which is brilliant. And I had always, you know, heard about Stephen King's descriptiveness, and then it was like, you know, this guy is going to, you know, whereas most people would say, he takes a bite of cereal, whereas Stephen King is like, he drinks his cereal, which his dad gave him, and his dad worked at like this paper factory, and his father beat him, blah, blah, blah. And it all, but like, it all makes sense. Like, it's all connected. Like, the reason he told you this is because it actually has to do with something. It's absolutely brilliant. But I remember that was one of the books that my wife and I listened to, and she was like, but just tell me he ate the cereal.
I mean, before we move on to Conspiracy Corner, which is our next segment, I think I need to tell you, you need to read, first of all, The Stand, because we're in the middle of a pandemic right now, yeah, so you need to read The Stand.
With that.
And the Dark Tower series. How have you not absorbed that piece of geek culture?
I know. So I know a lot about it. I know a lot about it, actually. You know, just like Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series. It's like, it's one of those things where people have always, Casey, oh my gosh, you haven't read this. You haven't seen Doctor Who. Oh my gosh. And like, which I actually ended up watching Doctor Who, but I will. Absolutely. I'm sure I will love it because I've seen every Stephen King movie and miniseries, and I absolutely think he's a genius, especially even politically. And I like his son. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not opposed to the idea. It's just because of all the books being, you know, 10,000 pages, I'm like, do I really want to jump into it? Oh, I'll say this. Sorry. I've read 2/3 of It, which okay. I love. After the first movie came out, not the 90s one, but the recent movie, I started reading it. Though, it was my bedtime story, you know, and like I'd get through a few pages and nod off. And then I'm like, oh, gosh.
What kind of dreams would you have after that?
My wife probably got kicked 1,000 times in our sleep.
Well, it's been fun talking about comic books and drifting off from comic books.
Yes.
But with that, let's move on to my next segment, which I call Conspiracy Corner. And today we're going to talk about Bigfoot and the Yeti. Just kind of cover that conspiracy. So
okay.
Let me start with, do you believe in conspiracies at all?
I do, depending on the conspiracy, yes.
All right. So I want to believe in most the conspiracies that I absorb. Not like the Bill Gates is responsible for coronavirus conspiracy, but like the JFK assassination stuff is super interesting.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of the Assassin's Creed, ancient civilization stuff, you know, like that there was a civilization before humans now. And Bigfoot was probably one of my introduction conspiracies when I was younger. Okay. So after my grandfather died, he had this book that somehow my dad ended up with. I don't think it was like gifted to him, but it was like, you know, when they were cleaning out the house, the book. And it was like, you know, these collection of stories, like the magical hailstorm. I remember there was things about spontaneous combustion, and there was definitely stuff about Bigfoot in there.
Okay.
And, you know, I think about it and I'm like, maybe such a creature is possible. Like, I go, here's my thought process. I go, I've been to New York City. I live in Rochester, which is a relatively, you know, minor city, but it's a city. And I go, there's no way Bigfoot's possible. And then I drove to Minnesota once and drove through fields and fields of corn with nothing around. And I'm like, something could totally live here and we would never know that it's living here. So I guess I believe it's possible, but I wanted to bring this one to you because I thought this was interesting. There is a theory out there that Bigfoot is a dimensional traveler and does not actually live in this dimension, but visits this dimension quite a bit and comes to Earth.
So first off, in the conspiracy theory realm, I'm a big aliens guy. Definitely done research on aliens and the pyramids and, you know what I mean? Like, all that kind of stuff I'm, like, right keyed in. As far as Bigfoot goes, I don't know if I believe in he's a dimensional traveler.
No, I don't, but I thought that was interesting.
I think that's funny. I do believe in other dimensions. I do. I just feel like, why would you come here? You know what I mean? Like, that's my only thing with it. Now, is there a being that has, you know, lived for millennia, you know what I mean? Like, since, like, you know, maybe an offshoot of humans, and this is the way that he evolved, or it evolved, and just kind of lives out in the outskirts? Yeah, sure. Like, honestly. And, like, is there another one that just happens to be able to, like, live in colder weather? Like, just like us humans can. Like, just like us humans can live in super hot weather. You know? Yeah. Fine. I believe in Yetis and abominable snowmans and in whatever, Yataglanchis or whatever they call the, you know, the Bigfoot. So, yes. Sure. I'm not at all, like, here's the thing with conspiracy theories and these kind of things, like tall tales and all that. They come from somewhere.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
Always. Like, they come from somewhere. Like, Ray Bradbury, he must have talked to aliens, because that dude, same thing with, like, Isaac Asimov and, like, all the, like, I'm a big cyberpunk and sci-fi person, too. Like, those people talk to somebody to know, like, that a phaser is now our modern remote control. Are those tricorders are, like, modern, like, what we have now, like, cell phones and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, someone told them.
That, you know, it makes me think of something. When I was younger, I used to have this quote about these conspiracy theories and stories and stuff, that every story is true at some place and some time. But that plays into the multiple dimensions. Like, that, you know, like, my concept was that, you know, all of our dimensions are kind of interlocked, and the stories we get cross over from dimensions. Ray Bradbury talking to aliens was actually talking to a different dimension that he got these stories from.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah, it's just like this world, this universe, galaxy, whatever, is like, it's so vast, and we're insignificant things in it, and humans are probably so low on the totem pole of what is out there. And
we think we're so important.
We do, until the moment something else shows up, that moment that we can prove an alien exists, or an alien comes down. It's going to be one of two ways. An alien's going to come down and go, listen, you guys are fucking up the earth. And even though this planet is useless, we decided to help you out. Or the alien's like, hey, we're on this mission of like terraforming and you are useless again, but we need to like take all your resources and we have to enslave you all. Like, it's going to be one of those things.
Your planet has been deemed for destruction for an international highway.
Exactly. It's
good. Or, you know,
Vogons. Yes.
We think they're doing the universal peace sign of the donut, and then we release doves and start a war with the Martians.
Exactly. So it's, you know, once that happens, like, religion will probably fail. New religions will come about. The humans will, you know, already our biggest question is, you know, what is our place in the galaxy? What is our place in the universe? The big universal question of why. And when one of these things, even something like a Bigfoot, is proven to exist, that's when all hell breaks loose even more than it already is.
I mean, sorry to drift from the Bigfoot conspiracy. you know, we're drifting from comics and now on conspiracies. But did you see that the Pentagon released 3 new UFO videos today?
No, I didn't.
That was trending on Twitter that there was 3 new UFO videos that got released. Like, they're out there. I honestly, I don't buy that aliens are visiting Earth. I feel like we're so insignificant that we'd be so boring unless we're their TV show. Like, you know, I don't understand why aliens would visit here.
I mean, I think, like, we are of an intelligent species, and for that reason alone, I feel like aliens would probably want to say, are these people you know, like, can we talk to them? Are they useful of some sense? We're not, but, like, they might, like, want to be trying to figure it out.
They pop in every now and then and go, okay, they're still too stupid. They're not dangerous. We can go now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, I'll have to watch those videos. Yeah.
The minute we terraform Mars is the point we're fucked, because the aliens will be like, oh, they got to another planet and terraformed it. Kill them.
Yes. For, yeah. Yeah. That's, sorry, Elon.
Yeah.
You tried.
You tried. You destroyed us all. Sorry, Elon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bigfoot was where we started. We wound up on aliens. Is Bigfoot an alien? A story for another time.
Exactly.
It's been nice catching up with you.
Even though we talk every day, yes, it is also nice.
Yeah, but we don't talk in person every day. There's, you know, you can't convey certain things through chat. You know, certain messages get lost in chat.
No, absolutely agree with you. It's funny. Like, I talk to my cousin every day. You know, we grew up together, and we finally did a chat today. And then we ended up chatting for like an extra like 45 minutes. And it was just like, oh, this is, why did we talk? Like, we literally talk every day, like through texting or whatever. So yes, when I saw him in person, it was like, oh, let's just keep talking. So
I think Facebook Messenger only gives us 6 reaction emojis. So there's only so much reaction we can have.
That's it, man.
You know, before we have to start falling into the world of GIFs to do reactions to things.
Right. I have done that, though.
Stay safe. I know. Yes. We'll catch up probably next time on the Star Wars podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I like to end the episode with a quote, and I'm reading a new book outside of book club right now. Actually, I'm listening to an audio book. It's by the scientist. I discovered him on, I want to say he was on a How Stuff Works, and he's got a book called The End of Time right now. And he's talking about philosophy and physics and the end of time and, you know, where humans fit into everything, kind of stuff we were just covering in the conspiracy a little bit.
Yeah.
But I grabbed a quote from him to end it out. And it's, Cosmology is among the oldest subjects to captivate our species, and it's no wonder we're storytellers. And what could be more grand than the story of creation? From Brian Greene. So if you can, check out Brian Greene. He's got some interesting stuff out there.
I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for having me on another episode. Well,
thanks for coming on.
I feel like there's a Kevin Smith joke in that. But yeah.
There probably is 100% one.
Yeah, like you said, you'll mark this one as explicit. Thanks.
I will. The last one was explicit too, so. All right. Well, have a good one.
Thanks, Jake. You too.
Thanks for listening, everybody.